Now, we have been looking at why you should be in a local church, pardon me, and be committed there. Why you should be in a local church. And not just be there, but be committed there. Don't say committed. Say committed. It's not just good to be attending the service, you know, attending church. You have to be committed there. Why you must be in the local church, that's what I'm looking at, and why you must be committed. In Matthew chapter 16, we see Jesus talk about the church. And I'm going to be talking for a while this morning, so I have a couple of things I want to cover just this service. Is that clear? Alright, so be at attention. Now, in verse 13, when Jesus came from the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So people have different opinions about Jesus. Then he said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Because it's important that you have a revelation of who he is. The revelation of who he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Right? Verse 18. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and the keys, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I mean, look at the preaching. He says, and when he said that thou art Christ and the living God, said, upon this rock, there was upon this fact, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. He used the word "my church" because the word "church" is a term used generally for assemblies. In fact, in that particular era, the word "church" is the word, taken from the word "ecclesia," which means to be called out to God. It was used frequently for those people who were like lawmakers, who were called from out of the people to make laws in a particular territory. So he says here, that's why he uses the word authority. He says, "I will build my church, my gathering, my called out ones, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against." Now that already tells you something. If Jesus says, "I'll build my church," those folks must be saved. To be in his church, you must be saved. Because it's his church. We'll be looking at that anyway. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1. If you start from verse 17, that's the popular Pauline prayer. Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and gave to be head over all things to the church, even his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he says there that just like Jesus spoke to Peter, "I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom." He says he will give all authority to the church, his body. Now that tells you something. That the authority of Christ is only exercised in the church, or through the church. The authority of Jesus Christ is exercised in the church or through the church. Now I'm going to show you some in a moment. Just pay attention. So if you're looking at the authority, but when people say that, well, I'm only submissive to God, or I'm only loyal to Jesus Christ, and they say I only obey Jesus Christ and stuff like that, you know, they're just being deceitful, because Jesus has given his authority to who? To the church. So if you claim to be serving Jesus, and you're not serving the church, you are not serving Jesus. You see, if you like, form 20 NGOs and feed all the poor on your street, you are just deceiving yourself. Because you're not serving Jesus. To serve Jesus, you have to be in his church. You have to serve his church. He put all things under his feet and gave it to be head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him, verse 23, that created all. You cannot claim to serve Jesus without serving in the church. Are you listening? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. So the first thing, the church is the body of Christ. The church is what? The church is what? The church is what? The body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, and we have all been made to drink into one body. Drink of one spirit, pardon. One body. Now, in chapter 3, verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the church is the family of God. The church is what? Come on, the church is what? The family of God. You cannot claim to love a man and not relate with his family. See? The church is the family of God. Chapter 2 verse 18 says, for through him we both have access unto the Father by one Spirit. So therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, verse 20, being the chief cornerstone. Notice that. It says you are built upon the foundation that men laid. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Taken from Isaiah 28 verse 16. So, the family of God is the household of God. The family of God is the church. What are we having this morning? Family meeting. What do I call it? Family meeting. Church is family meeting. That's why it's called fellowship. A sheep of fellows. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all men. But it says, especially those of the household of faith. It says, show kindness to all men. But especially, only especially. So God treats his body different. Especially those of the household of faith. Those who have believed, just like you. Glory to God. Is that clear? Glory to God. You need to learn to know why you are in church. Why you must be in church. In fact, listen. I think I mentioned it earlier in the series. If you reach out to someone and you preach the gospel to the fellow, and you tell the fellow, look, Jesus Christ is Lord, and then he believes in his heart. Just like Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Anyone that believes in the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, If you look at Matthew 28 and verse 18 and 19 and 20, it says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. It says, go and make disciples. Go and make followers, students. So your job is not completed by just preaching to someone and seeing that the fellow has made a decision for Jesus. Your job continues to ensure that the fellow is being trained, is being discipled. Don't just tell someone, you say, believe in Jesus Christ, you believe, okay, attend any Bible-believing church. What kind of crap is that? Because the messenger ought to belong to a church somewhere. You ought to belong to a church. You ought to be a member of a church. So when you preach to someone and he believes or she believes the gospel, you take the fellow to fellowship. You bring the person immediately to fellowship. How many of you have been born before? Been to the maternity ward? And a baby was born? And then they say, take the baby anyway. Isn't that awful? You just allow the baby to go anywhere, you know. After all, God is everywhere. After all, anybody can cater for anyone. After all, you know, you can't say that. You immediately ensure the baby is with the family, where he or she, or it, better still, can be brought up. So evangelism is not completed until you ensure the fellow is properly incorporated in a church. And the best place should be your church. Because if you preach to me now, and you cannot take me to your church, I'll get confused. Why can't I be in your church? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because your work continues into discipleship. Glory to God. Are you following this? Are you following this? Thank you. Now I want to share some few things with us and then we'll go into what I want to talk about today. One important thing you need to realize is that there is no personal salvation. See, Jesus did not come to the world to die for you. He didn't come to die for you. He came to die for everybody. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So say the whole world. Say again the whole world. 1 John 2:1. These things I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not only for our sins, but for the whole world. Someone said the whole world. So, Jesus' blood was shed for the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Verse 18 says, all things of God, who has consigned us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespass again unto them. Reconciling the world unto himself. So there's no personal salvation. Nothing like that. You need to realize that we are saved together. We are saved together. Are you in church? Read Ephesians 1. We're saved together. Ephesians 1:3. Who has blessed us? Someone say us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Us. You know, us doesn't refer to one person. If you say he has blessed you, say he has blessed us. Verse 4. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we goes into many people. Should be holy and blameless before him in love. Verse 5, who has predestinated us to adoption as children by Jesus Christ. Children, plural. Verse 6, he has accepted us into the beloved. Us. Verse 7, whom we have forgiveness. We have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8 was abounded unto us, wisdom and prudence. So it is us, we. We are saved together. Say, we are saved together. We are saved together. So if we are saved together, why can't we be together? If we are saved together, if we are blessed together, if we are chosen together. Chapter 2 verse 1 says, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who walk, verse 2, according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that walks through his obedience, among whom we have our conversation time past, verse 3. We are the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as unto others. God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith great he has loved us. He says he has raised us up together with Jesus, verse 5, and has made us sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ, verse 6. Verse 8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Verse 10 now tells you, we are the workmanship of God in Christ. We, us. So we are saved together. There's no personal salvation. That salvation you have is not personal to you. You get that? It can be spiritual. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Joel 2:28, right? Upon all. So, whatever you have in Christ is not personal to you. We're saved together. We're baptized into Christ together. Galatians 3:27. So, if we're saved together, and we're blessed together, we're anointed together, then we should be together. Hallelujah. We should be together. Say, we are saved together. So when we come together like this, it's because we're saved together. There's a common fact to all of us. We are saved together. Praise the Lord. Also realize, you know, Colossians 1:9, verse 12, pardon me. He says, he's giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He has made us. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of their Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins in his blood. So we, us. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Who were called out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth the praise of he who has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who henceforth before were not a people, have now become the people of God. We didn't have mercy and have the mercy of God. So we shows you the mind of God. He addresses us. You know, have you discovered also that the epistles were written to everybody? Now, there were letters written to personal people, individuals. You find 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, because they were pastors. But the instructions in there were for everybody. And you find Titus, personal. A pastor. You find Philemon also, which had to do with a personal interaction between Paul and Philemon, and then Onesimus, who was Philemon's slave and Paul's son in the Lord. But check every other letter. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, right? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the book of Hebrews, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3rd Peter. Oh, yeah, in church, right? Thank you, you got that. 2nd Peter, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude. Book of Revelation, written to people. So if the scriptures were written to all of us, then that shows you there's more in our gathering than we see. Because we're saved together. We are called together. God's got no special children. We all have the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So there's nothing special about you that I don't have. Because we are saved together. Say we are saved together. Realize that we are saved together. And you must participate with those with whom you were saved together. Is that clear, John? Is that clear? We're saved together. We're called together. That's why Paul, you know, told Philemon that he commended his love, Philemon 5, towards the saints. He commended his love towards the saints. It's something that is a proof of salvation. In Colossians 1:4, commended the Colossian Christians as well for their love towards Jesus Christ and towards the saints. Because we're saved together, we need to demonstrate this. Now listen to this. There are 118 times the word church is used in the New Testament. 118. How many times? Now listen to this. Only 14 times is that word used for the universal church. Only 14 times is the word used for the body of Christ. What is it? The body of Christ. We're spreading to everybody. The body of Christ. Only 14 times. So that means we have 114 other times. Now what percentage is that? You do mathematics. That means just about 10% more. So that means your commitment to the universal church will be demonstrated majorly by your commitment to your local church. If the word church is used 118 times and just 14 was it referring to the body of Christ. So they were, I don't belong to any church. I belong to the body of Christ. That's some idiocy being explained. You know what idiocy is? Idiocy. You're just being silly. Because God has called us into the local church. And I told you that the local church, when you see someone that is not committed to the local church, it's because he is selfish or proud. Because the local church destroys selfishness in our lives. We are now available to serve others. It destroys pride. It also means that you are depending on other people to help you. You see, if you cannot have those two things in your life, you are either proud or you're selfish. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was saying this. This is by the way, but it's okay. You know, some folks who say, well, I'm tired of all the churches. You know, I've heard some stupid things before. I'm tired of all the churches. And so he's always criticizing the churches. And I engaged someone last night. I said, you seem to have nothing good about any church around. He said, you know what I think? I think God is calling you to start a church. He will start one. And this fellow started a BlackBerry group for Bible study. He couldn't sustain it for 5 months. Everything closed down. And you are criticizing those who have to think about 100,000 people. I said, I sense a burden upon your heart, right? Say, yeah. Say, start a church. When you have to go to people's houses to see to it that they grow spiritually, you know what it goes into, what goes into it. When they offer you space jets, you've collected. Space jets. You say, I want to go to the moon. Well, see, people that are not in the local church, they just attend church like suspenders. Or you don't get that, did you? They are selfish people. They don't want others to use them. They don't want anybody to use their time. That's the reason why they are not committed to the church. And they are proud. They don't want to depend on others. Praise God. Are you with me? Say, we are saved together. Don't forget, 118 times the word church is used. And just 14 is used for the universal church. See, the mind of God is that we should be committed to our churches. Now I'm going to give you 7 reasons, 7 things to note. Number 1, the visible church is local. You cannot see the church except there's a gathering. Now, if you enter into a community, how do you know the church is there? There will be what? A gathering. So the local church, the universal church, is visible in gathering. So it's either you are, listen to this now, is either you are in a local church or you are a locomotive Christian. What's locomotive? Oh, tell me, you don't know. Where are you? I have professionals here. What? Locomotive. Locomotive is always moving, right? So you got no local church, you're always moving. Always moving across the land. Those of folks have different churches they attend in different parts of the year. There was a lady that told me, Friday night, she was at this so-and-so power night. Friday night into Saturday morning. Saturday morning, she went for something with something. I don't want to mention that. Another church. Then in the evening, somebody invited her to a program. Then the Sunday morning, she now went to another church. That's a locomotive believer. Now, if everybody was like you, if everybody acted like that, what do you think will happen in the body of Christ? If we all go round like that. So, are you a locomotive Christian? You have some folks like that. Last week, we're not here because we're at World Teachers Conference. You go to somewhere else. If you had to go to somewhere else because your church did not meet it at that location that Sunday, there's a problem with you. You should be where your church is. If your church goes, we had that conference, we hold it once a year. Just once a year. Once. You ran away. Why did you run away? I don't know. A spirit just told you not to go. See? Are you a locomotive person? Just going around. No sense of commitment. The universal church is visible. What did I say? You'll find 2 words in Acts 4:23. Remember when Peter and John were persecuted, they threatened them. And he said, you must never speak again in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:23, they returned to their own company. Their own company. That's the word they use in Acts 15:22. Their own company. The word company there in the Greek is people you share identity with. There must be, your local church is your own company. What did I say? Seems like something happened this morning. What did I say? Say, my local church is my company. The local church is your company. The people you can go to. I was saying this, a pastor friend of mine asked me, a member, you know, he had been running up and down. He been around. He won't be in the church. He said, well, I say, I'm busy. You know, I work for this multinational company and they always take me around the nations and all that. And he gave all those reasons, you know. So he would just come into church maybe once in 3 months and then very briefly, you know, he would come late and he would enter the service and, you know, and then he'd leave. He used to handle, I think, the technical of the church, the technical department, and he just abandoned the technical department because he has something else to do. So, he now started coming to church recently, you know, faithfully, and I knew there was something ulterior. He was about to get married. And the church, the wife-to-be attends, that there must be a letter of recommendation. You know why they do that? Because you should not marry a UFO. You know a UFO? Unidentified flying object. See, I just, you're a Christian. You know, when someone says I'm a Christian, I say, what church do you attend? I say, ah, but why? Ah, you're a Christian. What church do you attend? I'm a Nigerian. From where? Say, ah, why? I can come. Ah. To be a Nigerian, you have to have a village, right? You say, my village is Lagos Ibadan Expressway. Yeah. And the guy came back. So the pastor asked him, he said, the church is asking, how long have I known you? And I should write a recommendation. So what do I write? I said, I don't know. Because if you write the truth, they will wonder what kind of person their daughter brought to marry. If you say, he is not committed to our church, he is indisciplined. So I say, what do I do? Write it in faith. Call the things that be not as though they were. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? Because the visible church is at the end of life. Whatever, when things happen, people ask me, they will say, you say, I'm from the body of Christ. Which church exactly? You must have your own company. People that know you. That you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to His name. I said glory to His name. You must have your company. Number two. The local church, I said, it's the visible church is local. Number two, it's a community of saved people. It's a community of saved people. Now, listen to this. The local church is a community of saved people, people that are saved. Now, why did I say that? Look at John 13. Turn to John 13. Show you something. John 13. Hallelujah. John 13. Verse 34. Are you there? Are you there? You're there, say amen. Alright, let's go. A new commandment I give to you. Let's go. Now, let me say this to you. Every time you see the word commandment, don't let your mind run to Mount Sinai. Commandment simply means instruction. Okay? Don't say commandment number 11. Like a lady was talking on Facebook one day, you know, and she said, just like the 12 commandments, I thought it was a mistake. She now said the second time, I've written the 12 commandments. You know the question I asked her? Who is your pastor? He said that he's doing a very bad job. or you're a problem child of the church. Because I know my son knows his Ten Commandments. How can you say 12? Some things are not pardonable. You get my point? 12 commandments? At what point? Who reviewed it? What edition are you reading? So when you hear the word commandment, is instruction. Are you following me here? A new instruction I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Look at that. You love one another as I have loved you. Listen to me. There is no better place to show this than in your church. You know, it is a love the world. It is a love the world as I have loved the world. You know, people read this to love their neighbors. He's talking to his disciples. Somebody follow what I'm saying this morning. He says, you who are saved, love one another. Now, whenever you say one another, that means they are a community of people. He didn't say love everybody. Love one another. One another. That is a set of people he's referring to. Are to love one another as he has loved them. That's why 1 John 3:16 says, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us. Let us lay down our lives for the world. For who? The brethren. Listen to me now. If you like, believe it. But I know you're a believer. See, loving unbelievers and not loving believers has no reward. All those things we do for unbelievers, and we are treating them well, entertaining them, is good. But you see, the Bible ranks loving believers far more than loving unbelievers. Far more. All the respect you give to the governor, listen to me, you respect the governor of the state, you respect social and so person, you prostrate for them because of selfish issues most of the time. You respect them, you say stuff about them on Facebook and Twitter, when you see them, you prostrate. Hypocrites. The Bible says concerning those who are in authority in your church, you give them double honor. Is that not true? You honor those who are in authority, but for those who are in your church, you give them double honor. So there is always more to be given to believers. So when you respect an unbeliever and disrespect a believer, that respect for an unbeliever goes to nothing. If you cater for the needs of an unbeliever, a poor man, and then you don't cater for those in your church, whatever you have done for that poor man is nothing in the sight of God. Because you must put his church first. You must put his children first. Hallelujah. Imagine if you come to my home every time. Listen to me now. And you are always, you bring food for the dogs. You buy cloth for the dog. Or you come around me every Sunday or every during the week, and then you see buying things for my neighbor. Every time you go, you bring stuff for my neighbor. And my kids are there. And I spend more time with my neighbors than my children. Of course, I'm not going to dig you. You know what that means? Everyone says, I don't dig you. You better dig, dig. Because you have to show love first to my children. Are you listening here? Look at 35, let's see. By this, 35, John, you run away from there already? John 13, are you still there? Let's go. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you speak against one another on Facebook, if you call one another names on Twitter, if you write things about yourselves, newspapers, if you write long articles inside our reporters, nope. If you love one another. Now let me ask you, how did Jesus love you? Did he love you when you were perfect? You're quiet, right? He's still loving you the way you are. You know the way you are. So if you're going to love his children, you love them the way they are. Is that true? Is that true? Have you seen some folks? Because they fall out with some believers, they'll delete them on their Blackberries. They'll delete them on their Facebook. And they'll have Muslims on their Facebook contacts. What kind of a Christian are you? You have atheists on your contacts? Then you have believers deleted because you had arguments about doctrines. You are an hypocrite. And more than that, you're a fool. Yeah, you're a fool. You know, years ago, I was out of the country, so I was privileged to speak to relate with the government of that country. I went on business. I didn't go to preach, all right? But as I got there, the second day, I began to look for Christians. I told them, I said, I'm looking for a church. And I spent more time with the believers than the very important people in the society. One of them saw me one time in the convoy of the president. I said, wow, we didn't know that kind of person you are. That's the kind of person you were. I said, no, it doesn't make any difference. I preached in the church that Sunday. No, that was a Friday, sorry. Because these are your brethren. These are your brethren. Say, as I have loved you. So you must show love to believers no matter who they are. And no matter what they are. If Jesus didn't expose you, he didn't expose you. If Christ was to expose our sins, what a great headline it would be. If it were to expose what was on your heart, the headlines would be scandalous. Why would you do that to fellow believers? You know, some folks just take delight in exposing Christians. I don't know why they're doing it, but they have their reasons. So, the local church is a community of saved people. We must love one another as Christ has loved us. We must love one another as Christ has loved us. And there's some people, you know, under the guise of teaching and exposing false teachings, are actually just hateful. I've seen them. They are just hateful. You know, I told one, I said, you're an hypocrite. He said, why? I said, you listen to Sinach this much and Frank Edwards, you like them so well, and you don't like Pastor Chris? You're an hypocrite. Sinach is a product of Pastor Chris's ministry. So are Frank Edwards. But they are singing unto the Lord. Is God against them? He says, no, it's not God. Say, ask Sinach herself. I knew her when she started leading worship. I knew her when she left university. I knew her. She's a product of that anointed ministry. See, say, you are an hypocrite. You have a personal vendetta. Because you should distance yourself. I told another one, I said, what an hypocrite you are. You're criticizing the Christians of God and you are using their camp for your programs. You are an hypocrite. You are a big hypocrite. No, you are quiet, huh? Love your brethren. Love them. Tell them, say, love me. Oh, tell them, say, love me the way I am. Say it again, say, love me. No, some of you are so hypocritical. Turn to the person. See, these are some of the things we do in church. We always pretend. I know a lady is sitting beside you, so I think that's a problem there. But you see, your heart must be very funny for you to think I'm talking about something else. Amen. So look at the person. Don't look for somebody who's like, you know. Say, love me, just like Jesus loved you. Say, I will love you, just like Jesus loved you. Getting that now? No, not loves you, loved. They don't put it in the Bible. Love means, there's someone going to point out, love means while we are yet sinners. Praise God. Love means we are dirty, disgruntled, yet He loved us. Say, I love the church. Say, I love the church. In some of us, hypocrites. We see someone who wears white garments and he's not born again. Say, why? Why is he not born again? Say, he's wearing uniform. Don't you wear choir uniform? Aren't our ushers always dressed the same way? Is that not true? There's so many folks born again, filled with the Spirit, that are in those churches. I know what I'm saying because I've taught in those churches for years. I've been preaching in their churches since 1994. I taught in conventions. Born again folks. I've traveled to different denominations, several across the country and outside. I've not seen any difference in any. Just change your clothes. Can I say that again? Just change your clothes. Praise the Lord. There's no church that's not known by what they wear. Hope you know that. When some folks who don't wear earrings and wear stuff, you know the church. When some folks who are wearing suits, some not fitting, the tops not fitting, you say, that's LTP. You know. You see some folks, you know, this is a why? No, that's so and so church. So this is no big deal. Praise God. Hallelujah. When some folks having Jerry calls, you know their church. Hallelujah. Alright. So the church is a community of saved folks. The church is a gathering. Number three. The church is what? So they say, I belong to the body of Christ. No, you must belong to a gathering. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling together of one another as a manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling together of one another. Hebrews 10:25. Check that. Not forsaking the assembling together of one another as a manner of some is. So the church is a gathering. In John 20:19. Jesus asked the disciples to gather. In Acts 2:1, they gathered. In Luke 24:48-49, tarry in Jerusalem. Stay somewhere. Gather somewhere. In Acts 27, they gathered on the first day of every week. In 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they gathered together. 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together. 1 Corinthians 5:5, when you come together. So the church is when we come together. You can't have church on Facebook. Hallelujah. You can't have church on Twitter. There has to be a gathering. A gathering is required to have church. What did I say? I'll say that like you mean it. To have church, there must be a gathering. So to belong to a church, you must belong to a gathering. A gathering with a location. So no, just me and my friends, we just use BB charts and we send stuff to ourselves. That's not a church. That's an association, a club. To have a church, there must be a gathering. A gathering is required. Okay? Is that clear? Fine. In that gathering, you pray. We gather to pray. Acts 4:23. They lifted up their voice in one accord. They prayed. Acts 4:5. They came together to pray. In Acts 2:47, they came together and they praised the Lord, having favor with all the people. Acts 2:42, they continued in the breaking of bread and prayers and doctrine. Acts 14:26, they came together to be blessed by the Spirit. So, in church gatherings, we don't have the same thing. Sometimes we come to pray, okay? Sometimes we come to hear the word, just like we're doing now. Sometimes we come to just praise God. Acts 2:42. Acts 2:47. Just praise God together. We hear the word, we pray, we praise God. Sometimes we just come together to meet one another's needs. They broke bread. In Acts 4, you read verse 36 down to 37, 38, you find where where you find the church coming together to sell their things and brought it to the apostles' feet who distributed to others. So when we come together, we meet one another's needs. The gathering is required to meet our needs, to hear the word, to pray, to praise. A gathering is also required where we come to have the Spirit of God meet our needs. 1 Corinthians 40:26. Obviously, brethren, when you come together, each one of you has a sound, has a tongue, has an interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14:26. So as a doctrine, as a revelation, let all things be done unto edifying. Galatians 3:5. He that walketh miracle ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles amongst you. So we can have church to have miracles. To have the flow of the Spirit. That's the church. So a gathering is required. What did I say? A gathering is required. Thank you. Number 4. A church has a creed, a doctrine. A church without a doctrine is a loose association. There must be a doctrine, a teaching, or teachings. Acts 2:42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. There must be teaching. You must know, what do we believe in the church? There must be something that is being taught and believed. Every time Paul writes, he'll talk about what he taught them. Romans 6:17. It says the manner of doctrine, that word doctrine I told you is system of truth, a form of doctrine. You are delivered by the form of doctrine, system of truth. We might call it system of truth. 2 Timothy 1:13. The form of doctrinal words. System of truth. There must be a system of truth. In the Saints Community Church, we have system of truth. We have things we teach concerning heaven, concerning hell. We have things we teach concerning salvation. The things of the Spirit. Love. Concerning giving. We have things we teach concerning church itself. Marriage. Relationships. Sin. Every subject mentioned in the Bible. We have things we teach. Get a hold of our tapes. Oh, sorry. I've started tapes again, right? Of our CDs. You know those things. You cannot be in this church and not know that there is a teaching. There are teachings in the church. There are things we teach about dressing. Things we teach about your profession, for instance. There are series of teaching about prayer, about faith, finances, health, healing, demons, Satan. So a church must have a creed, set of teachings. See, I don't like that church. I like that church. Why? They don't do doctrine. They are not into doctrine. Well, that's a loose association. A church must have a creed. Things they teach. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things you have learned and heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Don't say the same. Commit unto faithful. 2 Timothy 3:14. Continue the things that you have learned, you have been taught, knowing of whom you learned the things. Those things. So, a church must have a creed. A creed. Things they teach. Now listen to this now. You must have a teaching. That's important. As a believer, you must have a teacher, a pastor, a mentor, someone who you cannot feed from everybody. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, you may have 1,000 instructors, but you cannot have many fathers. So a church is a place where we receive doctrine. The church must have a crew. Number 5, the local church is organized. Local church is what? Oh, tell me again. The local church is organized. There must be an organized system of doing things. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. you say in your version? Let's go. God is what? No, I want everybody to be. Let's go. God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of what? Now look at verse 40. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, God is not of confusion or of disorder, but of peace and order, as is the practice in all the churches of the saints. You see, anywhere you call church, there must be order. An organized way of doing things. There must be a time for the church service. There must be a time it's going to end. There must be a time for prayer, a time for teaching. There must be a time, you know, for midweek service. That's what's called church. There must be order. Look at verse 40. Verse 40, let's go. Let most things, most of the things, almost all the things, let what? So I say all things. All things. All things includes everything. Some folks want to get married. And they just show up and bring the IV letter to the pastor. Say, Pastor, we want the church to be involved. We're getting married. He said, no. That's disorder. You must inform the church that there's a lady in the church that you like and you want to marry her. Not the day you want to marry. Not when you want to get married. At the very outset of the relationship, the church must be informed. That's decency. Not that I will discover my word of knowledge. I sense that you are. And when that's done, that relationship is put under instruction. And then, you want to do introduction? You tell the church. Church is aware. You go from there, maybe to whatever you do is decently and in order. Let all things be done in decency, in order, in an orderly fashion. The married counseling classes required in this church, for instance, we counsel those who want to get married. We have a series of counseling we do for you. Things you need you to know. I know a lady who invited our pastor to our wedding. She was an head of the party. She invited the pastor to the wedding. How can you invite your pastor to your wedding? That's an insult. Say, well, my parents church wasn't. Give your pastor some respect. Tell them in your parents' church. Because if you're old enough to get married, then you should be old enough to take decisions. And well, my pastor must be part of your officiating ministry. So simple. It's disrespect to say, well, my parents said so and so, then go marry your parents. You must put your foot and feet, or if you have more than three, more than two, or feet. Down! Say, no. But if you're a respectable person in the church, you must do things properly. How can you invite your pastor to church? To a wedding. That's a lack of respect. Are you still there? Church organized. The word, let all things be done in decency and order, is the Greek word tasso. It's actually a military term for order. You know when military people say order? Attention! You know that? Maybe I've done military. So you did the NYC, you know? You know, stuff. You have to stay in one spot for hours. But I didn't have that experience, but I know when I was younger, we had cadet force. And I made a mistake because we had cadet. In, government college, but we had cadet as part of the courses we do, the subjects. So, the very first time they did cadets, I liked it. I just liked it. I liked the fact that I liked it. So I now went to join the cadet formally. Didn't know that the world before us in class was just small. So the guy just told us to first of all stand in the sun. 2 hours, 3 hours. In fact, he said, you must not move. I said in my mind, just let us go. I will not come back here. I will not come back here again. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the way you work. All that things are properly done. A military term. Let all things be done like soldiers. Praise God. That's what I say there. You know, soldiers, when they see their boss anywhere, even if he's with his girlfriend, and they say, you know, I love you. You're pretty. And he sees the commander coming and says, sir! The girl says, ah, are you sure you love me? He doesn't answer. You will go and sleep in guard room. You know, the girl will just leave you when you're in guard room for 6 months. She just writes a letter in there. I'm gone. You're a soldier. Praise God. The local church is organized. Number what? Number six. The local church has a structure of authority. The local church has a structure of authority. We are not all the same. In this church, for instance, look at the ushers. They're doing something, I'm doing something else. Those in the tech are doing something else. The other people who are in charge of different things. The local church has a structure of authority. When you get to a place that there's nobody doing anything, it's not a local church. It's a loose association of friends. You know, maybe old Christian association. You have old Christian association, you know. Because there has to be a structure of authority. In Acts 2, Peter spoke with the 11, verse 17, 16 and 17. In Acts 4, the apostles spoke. 33. In Acts 2, 47, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In Acts 5, the apostles spoke. In Acts 6, when there was a need to settle, when there was an issue of food being distributed, they called on the apostles. The apostles took charge of things. Read Acts 14, 23. They laid hands on elders, appointed elders in all the churches. Titus 1, 5. Paul told Titus to appoint elders in every city. So there must be organized leadership. Organized leadership. Some people are in charge. Some people are under some people. That's a local church. In a local church, there must be a definite structure of authority. Hallelujah. That's what a church is. And you must fall in line. You must always fall in line. When you get to church, you're into a department, maybe you're in the ushering department or in the choir, who is in charge? For the social and so. That's the leadership there. So the local church has a definite structure of authority. A definite structure of authority. Number seven, last one. A local church has a mission purpose. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The local church will reach out to our communities. Matthew 28:18-20, they make disciples of every nation. Luke 24:47, same thing. Now, the local church will go out, will reach out. That gathering of believers is also a platform to reach more people. As a local church, we must keep increasing, just like the Bible says. So Matthew Luke drew the word, Acts 19:9. Many people believed. Acts 3:47. People were added to the church daily. Acts 5. People were added to the church. Acts 2, 3,000 got saved. Acts 3 to Acts 4, 5,000 got saved. So, people always get saved through the church. When you see people who always gather and they are not seeking to reach out to others, they are leading to a cult. You must reach others. There must be a challenge on the members of the church to reach others. When you see people who are always gathering together, after a while, see, because when you are not mission-minded, you become critical of others. Because you don't have what to do. The critics are never mission-minded. Well, you see, the same set of people. Saints coming to church. We're in different paths. Reaching more people. Next year alone, we'll be sponsoring 4 programs on TV and radio. As I speak, there are some folks who are in the East who have already paid for us to be speaking every week, 1 hour on radio. We're reaching more people. Well, we're at Washington's conference, we have people come from different parts of Nigeria and from outside the country to come and hear God's word. See, that's, we're reaching people. Amen. We have camp meetings, people travel even from abroad to come for the meeting. That means we're reaching people. That means other people are hearing God's word. That's why we put the programs online. We put the things online because we're reaching people. We're coming on radio in the north and in the east and on television all over Africa. Praise God. Because we are mission minded. We want to reach more people. I want to talk to more people than this. I want you to also talk to people. Praise God. So we've got to be mission minded. When you have a group of people who gather to look at what others are doing, that's not a church. They will gather to scrutinize and speak about what others are doing or preaching. That's not a church. That is a civil society disguised as a church. The civil society? Those Pronaco? Nadeco? You have some Christian Nadeco? You know that? Hey, that's all they do. See? You must be mission minded. Praise God. Now in a few years from now, we'll be on international television all over the world. We're releasing books next year that will be in different continents of the world. Why? Because we're mission minded. All our fellowship, all our churches across Nigeria, they have, you know, outreaches to different parts. Yesterday, I had a meeting with, you know, some of our ministers who are, you know, in the north. And we spoke about what they should do, how they should go about it, and the radio program is going to be for them. So that they can reach other communities. In Bauchi, in Niger State, in Kogi State, in Kaduna and Kano, we have people, you know, reaching other people. Because that's what we are here for. Praise God. Are you listening to what I'm talking about here at all? The other time I had some folks who wrote me from Zamfara and said, we've been hearing your teaching, we want more. Said, we gather every week to just listen to the CDs. Said, how many are you? Said, we're over 30. Said, we're going to keep increasing. See? So there's a mission-mindedness to the local church. As I'm speaking to you here, I'm thinking how you will reach others. As I'm speaking to you, how you reach others as well. So a local church is mission-minded. The local church is what? We must change our society when men's lives are changed. Praise the Lord. So that's the local church for you. Alright, let's go on. Praise the Lord. In Acts 8, 1 to 5, you see Stephen went to Samaria to preach Christ and wasn't the only one. Himself and other folks who left Jerusalem because of persecution. Philip, and you have Stephen in Acts 6. In Acts 11, Judah, Silas, and people emerge, showing the local church keeps producing missionaries. What did I say? Local church will keep producing missionaries. More people will keep reaching more people. Hallelujah. When you see churches growing and they are large, as people say, the church is not about numbers. Who told you that? Church is about numbers. It's about numbers. It's not about numbers. You can just be few as long as you believe the word. Something's wrong with you. If you believe the word, you read Mark 16:15. Go into where? And preach the gospel to where? Now, how can five people be all the world? They can't be all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants the church to grow. What did I say? God wants the church to grow in numbers. What did I say? God wants the church to keep increasing in numbers. What did I say? When we increase in numbers, you know we'll influence more people. Have you discovered that churches that are large keep getting larger? You know why? Because there are more people doing what they are doing. There are more. If all they do is even invite people, there are more people inviting people. See, that's the point. So, a local church must be mission-minded. Praise God. If it's not mission, anything that does not grow will die. It must keep growing. It must what? It must what? Thank you. Alright, let's go to something else now. How do I get committed to the church? I don't know if you got what a local church is now. Let me see your hand. You got what a local church is? You do get what a local church is? Alright. Now, how do I get committed to one? Now, is a Saints Community Church a local church? I didn't hear that well. Is it? Fine. So how do I get committed to a local church? How? Now, attending a service is not commitment. Attending regularly is not commitment. It's just a proof, one of the proofs of commitment, but it's not commitment on its own. I know people who come to this service, to church every Sunday, and they're not committed. You know yourselves. You don't miss the service. If I know some folks, I know exactly when they're coming. At the exact time, when I look at it, they're already on the way. It's not a proof that you're committed. Yes, it doesn't mean you're committed, pardon me. Some folks from every side. But they are not coming. I know some folks who do not miss our camp meetings. They always come. See, I don't miss Caris. I always like to be in Caris. Others say, I don't miss Wash Angel. I always come. They're both like that. It's okay. But they're not committed. Some even watch our program on TV, but they're not committed. Now, that's not wrong. We want them to come to Wash Angel. We want them to come for Caris and watch our program. But we must know the difference between that and commitments to the church. They mean different things. Commitment to the church goes beyond attendance. Goes beyond participating in the services. It goes beyond buying the CDs and listening to them. It goes beyond getting on my Facebook and liking everything I say and commenting on it. Praise the Lord. It goes beyond retweeting my tweets. Up. It goes beyond that. That commitment goes farther, deeper than that. So I'm going to show you a simple explanation of commitment. Look at Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Are you following this? Are you following this? Matthew chapter 2. Now the story is where I'm going to give to us here, and we're going to draw a lesson from that, was when the wise men from the east came to visit Jesus. Now, when they came, verse 11, and I'm going to draw this as an illustration. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first thing is that they entered into the house. The first step to commitment is to attend the services regularly. The first step to commitment is to attend the services regularly. You cannot afford to be elsewhere on Sundays or Wednesdays if you are committed to the church. The first step to commitment, I didn't say commitment, I said the first step to commitment is to attend the services regularly. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling together of one another, Hebrews 10:25, as the manner of some is. So, if you will be committed to a church, the first step you're going to take is to attend it regularly. And not just, you will not pick the services you want to attend, like some do. Some choose the services. Sunday. No. In the Saints Community Church, we meet on Sundays. We meet on Wednesdays. And not just that. Now, for maybe this year, we're not meeting on Wednesdays. Again, for the next few weeks. But January, we'll resume that. And then we have fellowship meetings during the week where we meet in different locations. And we made it like that so that you could, we're bringing that ministry close to you. So it's not good enough to be around on Sundays. That's not commitment. That is not even a full step to commitment if you only appear on Sundays. We have prayer meetings, for instance. And we made our prayer meetings daily so that different groups can meet on different days of the week. For instance, we have a group on Mondays. We have another group on Tuesdays. One on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Saturdays, we have two groups. Now, why do you do that? So that a day of the week, you will spend with fellow church members praying. Because if we are together, we must have common needs we want to be met. You cannot refuse to attend prayer meetings and claim to be a member of the church. You are not committed. To be committed to the church, you will attend one of those prayer groups. And you not attend once in a month, you attend it every week. Those prayer groups pray for 2 hours. Just 2 hours. In how many hours of the week? We have 24 hours in the week, 7 days in the week. And that's 168 hours. We're taking just 2 hours to pray together. Look at the number of services we have. Assuming you come for 4 services, which is about 2.5 hours to 3 hours. That makes 3 plus 2, making 5. During the week, probably have 2 hours. That makes 7. Then the fellowship meetings are 2 hours, makes it 9. Maybe other meetings 2 hours, making just 11 hours in 168. Is that too much? Remove 11 hours from 168, you have 157 hours left. So imagine the number of minutes you spend in church and you see you're a member of the church. Praise God. Hey, you know, isn't it interesting? In the church, in the book of Acts, they met how many times? Daily. Daily. Of course, there will be extra meetings as well, just like any other church will do. We have extra meetings, camp meetings, and so on and so forth. But there are definitely meetings in the year. So, if you would, the first step to commitment is that you will attend faithfully. And regularly, you are not committed if they have to come and call you on Sunday mornings. You should be. You see, I tell you, some of you are just too unserious. You've been in the church for 6 months. Somebody is still paying your boss pay. Is that not a shame? They have to drag you to the service. No. You should wake up by yourself. Get ready for the service by yourself. And be at the service by yourself. And let us use the bus system for others who are just coming up. See, if we keep using the feeding bottles on you, we will not have enough to feed the newborn babies. The nursery is filled up. The crèche is filled up. And we cannot stop having babies. But we should stop having overgrown babies. Guys with beards and sucking their tongue. Guys with long beards and drooling. Guys with long beards and saying, mommy, mommy, mommy. That's a disaster of nature. Are you in church now? Oh, is it getting to you? Oh, some folks are just quiet and say, oh, 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 oh. He's talking to you. Yes, I'm talking to you. Regular attendance. The prayer groups. In the different activities of the local church. You are regularly seen. Hallelujah. Second thing they did. They saw him. Second thing is to receive the word. They saw him. You know, you can go to someone's house and not see him. You came to see me in my house. Then you met folks watching. Man sees you and man you. And 0-0, what it's called. And you're playing, and it's called 0-0 because nobody chose to score. And you're there, and you busy yourself watching, and then I left the house. You came to my house, but you did not see me. Because you did not place priority on why you came. So, secondly, to show commitment in the church, you have to receive the word. You have to learn the word. Ensure that you're learning the word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, and you should grow thereby. 1 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11, giving some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So you have to grow. You have to receive the word. And there are basic things. Number one, you come for the service, we have said. When you come with the Bible. Imagine you're here in this church and you still don't have church notes. I didn't say church jotters. I didn't say stick on papers. I meant church notes. Notes that you write. I have notes today that I wrote 20 years ago. I have them. Notes I wrote in church 20 years ago. I still use them today. You pay attention. You come to church with a note. Now let me see your hand if you have, let me see your note if you have one. Raise it. Come on. I'm going to look around. A church, raise it, a note, a church note. Raise it high like this. Let me see, just like I'm doing mine. See, some do have it. So what did you come to do in service? Put it down. You came to watch. Does this place look like a stadium? Or a theater? No, it's called church. Church. In church, you come to learn the word. When you come to church, you come with a pen, and you come with a writing material. And when I'm preaching, you don't gaze at me like you are dazzled and dazed. You don't gaze like me like you're trying to be and looking into an horoscope. You look, you listen, and you pay attention, and you take down the points that I'm making. You put down the scriptures so that you can go home and read them again. What you cannot recall, you cannot use. Why not put it down so that you can recall it? To be committed in the church, you must receive the word. You must do what? Now, when I'm done with teaching, the technology has helped us. You can go back and retrieve those materials. Buy CDs and MP3, MP formats and all that. And you get them to study them all over. That's number two. Number three, what else did they do? They bowed. I'm reading Matthew 2:11. They bowed. That means they submitted. You see, number one is to attend regularly. Be at every service, every prayer meeting. Number two, I said to receive the word. And number three is so important, to submit. To submit means you are accountable to that church. And there are people here today that are not accountable to this church. We don't know where you live, we don't know what you do. I'm not talking about writing it on the first timer's card. I'm talking about we know that. You know what you do? You come into church with a girl every Sunday. We don't know who is she? Disciple? Who is she? Or an accidental partner that walks into the church. You just meet yourselves at the door every Sunday. And it's been so miraculous. It's been for 7-10 Sundays. No, you're not submissive to the church. You must be accountable in the church. There are some of us like that. I'll just see you. I'll not see you a couple of weeks. Yeah. I just traveled to my hometown. Who did you tell? Did I have to tell anybody? Yes, you have to tell people. That's accountability. They submitted. Hebrews 13, 17. Turn there with me, please. Hebrews 13, 17. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Hebrews 13, 17. Let me have it. King James. Let me have it, King James. Read it. One, two, go. Let me read Amplified for you. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust to God. Do your part to let them do it with gladness and not with sighings and groanings, for that will not be profitable for you. He says, obey. He says, they'll continually watch over you. So if you are going to be committed in local church, you must be submissive there. You must be accountable. You can't just travel. You can't just do anything. If you're taking a new job appointment, let the church know. Well, I'm taking a new job appointment now. I'm no longer working with the Air Force. I'm not working with the Army. I mean, that's just simple. That accountability. Rendering account. And I told you this at watching this conference. Listen to me. There's nothing you will do in this life you not give account to God. Nothing. So, why not learn to do it now? There's nothing. Nothing will escape giving account for in your life. Nothing. So, why not imbibe the habit now of simply giving account of your activities? What you're doing, etc., etc. If you're accountable in the church, you'll be punctual. You get there on time. Praise God. Punctuality. Anything you can be late for, you don't respect. Anything you cannot get there early for is something you do not respect. You know yourselves. You always come late for the service. There's some of you here, throughout this year, you've never attended the prayer session. Some of you don't even attend the worship part of the service. You are simply not submissive. That's the problem. You are simply not submissive. We have told you, service starts at 8 o'clock or 7:45. Prayer service is 7:45 to 8 o'clock. If you are submissive to the church, you'll be there. Look at how we make lectures. When I was in law school, you know, you were in law school. You can't come in after they've closed the doors. And we had one particular stuff called law dinners. The minute the officiating folks get in, you cannot come in again. And that means you cannot be called to bar. It's so simple. When I was going to call the bar, my dad was to come around, and I told him, I warned him. I said, in our profession, we keep the time off. I said, come in and say, don't worry, I'll get your time. 9 o'clock. As they shut the door, no fly entered. The Attorney General of Nigeria came late. He stayed outside. He stayed outside. The Attorney General of Nigeria could not enter because he was late. See? Then you come late to church. You are not submissive. Some of you is regular. You are a rebel. You must be in the service when we are starting. What did we get this culture of in this church that the service will start with 20 people, then 300 will come from nowhere and join? It's a strange culture. It's not biblical. We should all be here before the service starts. I get in here sometimes 1 hour before the service. Praise God. If you are submissive, you will listen to correction, just like I'm saying to you now. Someone who is submissive takes correction. What did I say? You take the correction. If your teacher in school says 2 plus 2 is 4, and you say no, it's 22, it just means you are going to fail. Right? Someone said when I was in secondary school, said he has a different formula from the teacher. I said, you better use your formula, you are going to fail. Take to correction. If you are submissive in the church, you will join departments. You will join departments. Someone say, I have no talent. Be an usher. Sorry, guys. you know what I'm talking about. You have no talent. Don't join me. At least you know how to greet people. Welcome. Sit there. Please go there. I watch my treasures grow, pass the basket around. That requires no special training. But Brother Alex does training. Selah. Hallelujah. Say, well, I don't know what I can do for the Lord. That's something. Praise God. You don't know is something. So since you don't know, God will now give you what to know. And the first thing you are going to know to do will ask you to be cleaning the church. Ali, you know how to clean? I don't know how to clean. I'll teach you. Bring the broom. Okay. Mop. Yeah, bring your hand. Yeah, move it. Move it. Move it. That is it. Is it? God is using you already. Move it. Move it. How can you come and you are those who are not in any department of this church, you are unruly. You are unruly. You are rebellious. That's what you are. Imagine having children in your house. And then every morning, they're out. 5:30. They're back at 12 midnight. Or they just come to eat. Just wake up, eat, and sleep. Eat and sleep. Now, that's possible if one, maybe you're a baby. Or your father is so wealthy, he has many servants. But you know, God's servants are his children. Are you aware? God's servants are his children. Am I not a children? You're laughing. The person being ushered, is she not a children? Did you see any angel here? Did any angel open the door of this place? So it's people like you that are saved. When you are not in departments in church, you are just a rebel. Some people are like that. 1 year, 2 years, they will come in. And they have become problems. Yes. Because when they are not serving, they now begin to cause problems in their fellowships. If you see people who are well dressed, most of them, they are committed in church. Because they have taught them. Well, you see some, they've been coming for a long time, but they are dressed like those who just set free. You are just a rebel. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are submitted, you attend prayer meetings. You attend it. You'll be there on time. It will start from the prayers for the service. So number 3, they bowed. Number 4, they worshipped. Worship is respect. Respect. Listen to what I'm going to say. You cannot claim to worship God and disrespect his church. If you worship God, you respect his church. First Thessalonians 5:12. Open there. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you worship God, you will respect his church. Hallelujah. Are you there? Read verse 12 and 13 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. If you are there, say amen. Okay, let's go. Start again. I beseech you, brethren, to know them we do what? Go on. To do what? How? Very highly. Go on. The word esteem there is to lift them up very highly for their work's sake. Verse 13. Verse 13 be what? For their work's sake, and what? So when you are not esteeming people highly for their work's sake, you are creating disorder in the church. That's what you are doing. You cannot respect God and disrespect His servants. You are only lying. You cannot respect God and disrespect people in the church. They came to Jesus and they worshipped. They showed it in their conduct. The way you refer to people in the church. Okay, anyhow, just talk. That guy that handles the sound. That guy. Something is wrong with your brain. Can't you say that brother? Does this place look like Sweba? That brother. That sister. If you have come 4 or 5 times, you're going to say that pastor. Amen? Respect the house of God. What did I say? Number 5. What did they do? They opened their treasures. They opened their treasures. When they came to Jesus, they made their resources available. They made their cars available. They made their homes available. They made their time available. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. If you treasure the house of God, your heart will be in what we do. You want to be involved. You want to participate. You want to serve. You just want to be available. They opened their treasures. First thing, if you are committed, first step to commitment is to what? Let's go back again. First step to commitment is what? Attend how? Number 2? Receive the word. Number 3? Number 4? Respect the house of God. Respect the people in the house of God. Number 4, number 5, open their treasures. Be available. Be available and let your things be available. You have seen some instances. Some of us come around and we see most of what we have in church today were bought by people. People just bought them. You came around and you probably saw the projector didn't work well for 2 services. And you have one in your house. What is it for? I used to teach some students that come to me. It will serve a better purpose here than your house. Yes. You come around and you see maybe the technical department have an issue with the laptop and you have 2. What do you do with your laptop? You do Facebook. Facebook. And you put some songs on it. You know, suppose kind of laptop, they didn't do the laptop. Make your resources available. Finally, the last thing they did, they gave. See, your commitment to a church is not more than what you give to the church financially and materially. Your commitment to a church is not more than what you give materially and financially. And listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about quantity. See, if for instance, Shekhu here gives 1 million naira and Lola gives 200,000, it doesn't mean Shekhu gave more than Lola did. If Shekhu, for instance, 1 million naira to Shekhu is less than 1% of available funds to him. And Lola is giving 50% of what's available to him, Lola is giving more. So, Shekhu simply does not exactly treat the church with so much favor like that. He just thinks, well, what I can afford to give anybody, let me just give in the house of God. But he thinks he should do something sacrificial. You are not more committed than what you give. You are not. What you give in your church financially is your level of commitment. If you attend any church where you are not taught to give financially, they are not helping your Christian life. Very soon, it's going to affect everything you are doing for God. See, money is a value. Money is what? Value. Money is value. If you can give money to something, you value it. How many of you would like to date a man who does not give you money? I will tell you to move far. Because if you are not married to him, and he's not even pretending, you are going to be in trouble. You say, please, buy Fanta. Says, for what? Can't you take water? Ah. No, I'm not joking. Whatever you can't spend money on. See, money is value. It's value. Money is value. Don't call it is value. If you cannot put money into something, you don't believe in it. Why do you invest in shares and stocks? Because you think it will come, something will come back to you. It's not like you just say, let me just put it there. I mean, let me just throw it there. No, because you believe in it. So, the same way in the house of God, your giving is your sign of commitment. Look at how you give offerings on Sundays. Do you actually prepare to give? You know, sometimes we prepare our transport fare, we prepare money for this, money for that, but we hardly talk about money for the church. That's disrespect. There must be a part of your income that you say, look, this one will always go to the house of God. That's why I taught you about tithe. That there's a lesson in the tithe. Yes, the New Testament does not teach tithe as the Old Testament does, but the New Testament teaches giving proportionally to God. Taking a percentage of your income and giving. You determine what you want to give. But what you want to give must bring honor, not honorable. Honorable is something else. Must have honor to it. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Turn there. You cannot be more committed than what and how you give. See, stop giving spontaneously to the gospel. Stop giving irrationally. There must be a determined way, there must be a determined way to give. I must determine my income. I'll give this. I'll give 20%. I'll give 2%. Don't claim that grace outweighs the law if you can give less than 10%. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Grace does much more. See, if sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And the law abounds into 10%. So grace should abound into what? Much more. Hallelujah. Are you in church now? Grace should abound into much more. The New Testament saint should give far beyond the tithe. Far beyond the tithe. He should give far beyond the tithe. The Bible says to sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, we must sow bountifully. So I say bountifully. The word bounty in the Greek is rich. If you take 5 naira out of 1,000 naira, that's not rich. You must sow bountifully. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 to 2. Are you there? What does he say? Huh? Collection for the saints. As I give it what? So do ye. As I give it to others of the church of Galatia, right? So even so do ye. So Paul was giving instructions to give. Order. So do ye. The same spirit that inspired prayers inspired this. Don't think that prayer is more important than your giving. No. They are equally important. Don't think evangelism is more important than your giving. They are equally important. Look at verse 2. Read verse 2. Read verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let as many as are led. What's everyone? Now, everyone here, stand up. So this instruction is for everyone that stood up. So there must be someone that has nothing to give. Right? Let everyone, say everyone. Now what should everyone do? Put aside something. Let me read the Amplified for you. It says, let each one of you personally put aside something, listen to me, and save it up. You save your offering. Lay it aside. Don't say lay it aside. Don't give spontaneously in the service. Determine on Friday and on Saturday what you are going to give on Sunday. And during your fellowship meetings. Are you listening? As you are planning money for tantalizers and planning money for what else you have? Mama Puts. Put that money for church. Okay? Let everyone listen to this as he has prospered in the proportion to what he is given. So that means you must give as God prospers you, you give more. Is that not true? As God prospers you, you give more. So don't say, as I determine my heart, Paul has given you determination here. Determine, that determination will be as you prosper. So everybody here should have what to give in the house of God. If you are committed in the church of God, you must have something to give. Sit down. You must have something to give. There must be a part of your income that goes, Lord, I close here. Are you listening here? Are you listening? You must give faithfully and you must determine to give something that brings honor to God. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. The word first fruits means the best. Honor the Lord with your substance. You see, the Jews lent something by the act of the first fruits. That when something comes to you, comes from your ground, freshly, it goes to God. Look at that offering confession we do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the blessings you have endowed me with. Look at that first statement. So you first of all say it is from you. I confess boldly that all I have is from you. What I give today is to honor you. Look at what is in your hands. As I do, I sow seeds of honor, kindness, and grace. This offering is for the advancement of your kingdom. It is to meet the needs of the church, which is Christ's body. It will prosper the further advancement of the gospel in the media. That could talk about missions. To the living world telecast, where your money goes into, and people you may never see until heaven gets blessed because you gave.
So this will aid the planting of many more churches. Imagine giving 5,000. You don't know what that 5,000 naira will do. Reverend Bonke told us years back, he said they had to calculate how many dollars is for a soul. They looked at what it will cost to do those campaigns. Kenneth Copeland said, I'm going to sponsor that campaign, I think for 2 years. And look, that was the year, you know, Bonke had 1 million people in the crusade ground. Kenneth Copeland sponsored the whole year when he came to Nigeria and all that. So when you see such men and they say they are blessed, why won't they be blessed? Hallelujah. Determined to give and give faithfully in the house of God. Don't give on one Sunday, the next Sunday you are not giving. It's a sign of disrespect. Hallelujah. Jesus needs you. He needs you to be committed to your church. He needs you not only on Sunday mornings. He needs you on Monday. He needs you on Tuesday. Are you listening to me? He needs you on Wednesday. He needs you on Thursday. He needs you every day of the week to attend faithfully, to receive His word, to submit in His church, to respect His church, to be available and make your resources available. And finally, He needs you to give and give faithfully. Have you heard me this morning? Are you listening? Have you received me this morning? Stand to your feet. Give God praise.